Kentucky, used cars are sold as is. There's no lemon law for used cars. Once you sign for it, the dealership is not responsible. Use caution if a dealer won't permit a good test drive or letting you have a mechanic check it over before signing the deal. Shop around, since dealers can charge what price they like. Look for BBB-accredited car dealers at BBB.org and start with trust.
The following program on Life 99 WJMM is paid for by Hope Is Here Ministries.
Welcome to Hope Is Here. My name is Greg Horn. We're continuing looking at the miracles of Jesus. And we started out yesterday looking at the miracle of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. Shared that I think there's seven things we can learn about Jesus in this miracle of him raising Lazarus from the dead. We got on two of those yesterday. Number one, Jesus loved Lazarus, Mary, and Martha, and just talked about the importance of being reminded how much Jesus loves us. Secondly, Jesus' timing is not always our timing. I found that to be quite true. Don't know about you, but we talked about that Jesus waited, it said, after he heard that Lazarus was sick, two more days before he returned to where Lazarus was sick and then, of course, had died. And so we just talked about how Jesus' timing is not always our timing. Psalm 27, verse 14 is a verse that I ended yesterday's program with. And I want to start today's program with it again in case you missed yesterday's program. But what we talked about is that, you know, just like Jesus took those 2 days before he went back to be where Lazarus was, Mary and Martha were not happy. They had to wait two more days for Jesus to come. And yet, we talked about yesterday, we finished yesterday's program, that, you know, we learn more when we've had to wait. We realize how little control that we actually have over our lives. And I shared Psalm 27, verse 14, and I want to share that again today. It says, wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage, and wait for the Lord. You know, friends, waiting is not something any of us like to do, but it's like one of the fruits of the Spirit, patience. You know, be careful what you pray for. You might get it, and God doesn't necessarily give us patience per se, but he lets us go through circumstances and situations that cause us to exhibit patience, right? And yet, I think sometimes when we hear the word wait, we kind of think it's just an inactive season. And yet, I want to encourage and remind you today that waiting is not an inactive season. It actually can require action. So I want to share four things that I think we can do when we're in a season of waiting for God to answer a prayer that we've been praying, based off Psalm 27, verse 14, wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage and wait for the Lord. The first thing is that simply we got to be strong. When you're waiting, you have to be strong. It says, wait for the Lord and be strong there, first part of that verse in Psalm 27, 14. And, you know, friends, I found that that is true. When I'm waiting, I have to intentionally choose to be strong. You have to, because we don't like waiting, friends. I know I don't. Kind of kidding myself about, you know, I'm the guy who would get up to the checkout lane trying to see which one of the cashier lines is moving the quickest, or just because we want to, I'm in a hurry. I don't like waiting. The second thing you learn while we're waiting from Psalm 27, verse 14 is we need to take courage. We need to take courage. That verse says, wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Friends, that means we got to be intentional. You have to take courage when you're waiting in the season of life. You don't normally feel like having courage, right? I mean, you have to choose to take courage. And that is so much easier said than done. But I want to remind you that we need to take courage and be strong. And both those require action. You have to choose to decide to be strong. And I think you have to actually just almost like physically look like you're taking courage, deciding that you're going to have courage when you're in a season of waiting. Because, man, we can get impatient. We can get discouraged. We can get depressed. We can get angry. And yet I'm thankful to know that God will help us if we choose to do what his word says. In this case, when we're in a season of waiting, be strong and take courage. A third thing, though, that I've learned when I'm in a season of waiting, don't try to force something to happen. Don't try to force something to happen. Man, I've been guilty of that, just getting impatient, waiting on God to move in a situation. And most of the time it backfires, friends. Oh, my goodness. I know some of you are like nodding your head up and down like a bobble doll right now. You know, you're just like, yep, a bobblehead doll. Sorry, I knew I was missing a word. A bobblehead doll, okay? Because you're like, yep, been there, done that, Greg. You know, like, oh, man, I want a new car. And you get that new car, you get that new car smell, and it's doing great. And then it starts to wear off near the end of the month, and then you get your payment reminder, and you got several years of payment reminders, monthly reminder. You're like, man, what was I thinking? I wish I would just waited and save some more money, or just waited and not tried to force a decision. I tell you a verse that's helped me when I'm in a season of not understanding and not wanting to wait and force things is Isaiah chapter 55 verses 8 and 9. It says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8 and 9. I can remember hearing that for the first time when I was in college and would be far from God most of the rest of the week, but always show up at church on Sunday morning. And I remember learning that verse for the first time from Wayne Smith, the founding pastor of Southland Christian, and how it became one of my life verses when life just didn't make sense, that God's thoughts and his ways are higher than my thoughts and ways. And sometimes it's a long time before we understand. And then, to be honest, sometimes, friends, this side of heaven, we won't understand. But we can trust God even when we don't understand God. We'll say that again, friends. You know, we can trust God even when we don't understand God sometimes. So just know today that there's four things that you can do while you're waiting. Be strong, take courage, don't try to force something to happen, and the fourth and final thing is do the next right thing while you're waiting. Do the next right thing while you're waiting. You're like, well, what do you mean, Greg? Well, it could be something simple as, you know what, I know I need to exercise while I'm waiting. I'm going to take a walk today. The weather, spring weather, it's here. It's nice. I'm going to take a walk today and kind of just clear my head and get a 15-minute walk in. Maybe you're just like, you know what, God's been laying on my heart. I need to reach out to friends going through a tough season of life, whether it's for a phone call or a text. Maybe it's writing them a note of encouragement, or maybe it's about writing a thank you note to somebody and just saying, hey, you know, man, I'm just thankful for your friendship, thankful for all that you've meant to me over the years, or could be thankful for a gift that somebody's given. You know, you procrastinate in that, but whatever that next right thing, and I know something came to mind when I said that while you're listening, just to follow through with that. But here's the deal, friends. I know a lot of times I'm in a season of waiting. I can be discouraged. I can be disgruntled. And yet, I just want to remind you, friends, that we got to press through that flesh and those feelings, that sadness, that disappointment, that frustration. Because here's what I know, friends. When we try to help others and be a blessing to others, when we're in a season of waiting, we're the ones that wind up being blessed. And in the world's eyes, that makes no kind of sense, right? But I want to remind you, we just talked about in Isaiah 55 and 8 and 9, verses 8 and 9, that God's thoughts and his ways are not our thoughts and our ways. And I love this Bible verse I learned when I went on a mission trip to Jamaica. It's hard to believe it's been over 20 years since I did that. But I learned this verse, Proverbs 11:25 simply says, "Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed." Say that again. "Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed." You know, a third thing that we can look at and learn from the miracle of Jesus healing Lazarus from the dead is when we are confused, we just need to ask Jesus to make it clear. When we are confused, we just need to ask Jesus to make it clear. The disciples were kind of confused in this story in John chapter 11. So Jesus said in verse 14 and 15, "So then Jesus told them plainly, 'Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I'm glad I was not there, so you may believe. But let us go to him.'" I love Jesus just plainly said, "Hey guys, yeah, I know I told you he was asleep, and you keep pushing on me about it. So, okay, let me be honest. I know it's been over 2 days since he was really sick, so good chance he's not alive and all. But you know what? Lazarus is dead now. You're right. But he just put it plainly. And sometimes we just need to ask God to make it clear for us. You know, I can think of a more simple example in my own life now. My middle brother, Mike, is just has a brilliant mind. He's an oncologist. He got a master's degree from Harvard in health administration. Just really, really smart guy. In fact, I kid him sometimes, like, man, are you sure we're related? Because he's, like, really, really smart. But sometimes Mike will be talking about something, and he's a very gentle soul and very kind. But sometimes he'll be talking, and I just have to say, man, hey, you got to bring it down a notch, brother. I'm not quite understanding what you're saying. And he starts laughing and says, no problem, man. So, but sometimes just like that, we have to have Jesus, hey, just make this where I can understand it. And, you know, one of the things I love about the Bible, after the disciples did just say, hey, are you sure you want to do this? Because they were ready to kill you last time we were there in that area where we're going back to see Lazarus. In verse 16, Thomas said to the rest of the disciples, let us also go that we may die with Jesus. Wow. How about that for sarcasm and just saying, you know, my gosh, Jesus, have you lost your mind? That's basically what he's saying. And, you know, friends, we do the same thing now. We judge Thomas, but we do the same thing sometimes. And yet I'm thankful Jesus still loves us where we're at. And he still let them be a part of one of the greatest miracles he ever did when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. A fourth thing we can learn from the miracle of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead is that Jesus responds as we need at that moment. Jesus responds as we need him to at that moment. Both Mary and Martha both said to Jesus separately, okay, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But Jesus responded one way to Martha. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? And then yet when Mary came around eventually, Jesus saw her weeping, it says, in verse 34 and 33 and last part 35, just asking Mary where is Lazarus, because he saw Mary just weeping and deeply moved in spirit and troubled. And she said, come and see, Lord. And then in verse 35 it says Jesus wept. And so it's interesting, because to Martha he responded with, I would call him, as I read in the book by Tim Keller, that you know what, he was a minister of truth to her. Hey, you know, he's not dead. I'm the resurrection of life. I want to remind you that. But to Mary, he said, hey, I'm a minister of tears today. And, you know, I just kind of learned that it's kind of how it is in life. Sometimes I need grace from Jesus. Sometimes I need his truth. And some days I need both. A fifth and final thing I think we can learn from this miracle of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. Jesus is moved again about Lazarus' death. We already talked about him weeping in verse 35, but it says in verse 38 that Jesus once more was deeply moved and came to the tomb. And, you know, friends, to me, it's just sit there saying that, you know what? When we hurt and we lose a loved one, Jesus understands. He understands that pain. Sixth thing I want to share with you is that sometimes God asks us to do things that don't make sense. He told him to move away that stone, and Lazarus had been dead for 4 years and should have been an odor, but then he had him come out and rise from the dead. And sometimes God asks us to do things that make no sense, but then he works it out in the end. And last but not least, I believe that we can look at this miracle of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. And in that last part there in verse 43 and 44, he tells Lazarus, tells the people there, take off the grave clothes and let him go. And for some of you today, man, you know, you're not physically dead like Lazarus was, but you've let the enemy put you in a mental and emotional state where you're like in a physical prison, even though you're not. But mentally and emotionally you are. And I don't know what it is in your life, but you need to let it go and walk out of that invisible prison cell in your mental and emotional state, and know that Jesus wants you to have freedom. And so know that there's freedom because of Jesus, and because the tomb was empty, that hope is alive and he will help you conquer anything in your life. Thanks for listening. Hope you'll join us again tomorrow. My name's Greg Horn, and this is Hope Is Here.
Ladies, join us May 10th at 10 a.m. for brunch and to hear Emmy award-winning TV news anchor and author of Controlled Burn, Brooke Martin. Brooke is a former guest of Hope Is Here and will share Emmanuel, God Is With Us. This free event will be in Lexington at Gardenside Christian Church, Saturday, May 10th at 10 a.m. RSVP at GardensideCC.org. That's GardensideCC.org.
WJMM FM.